Bibles, please turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 and 2 together, and we'll read both of them in unison. We won't switch off and read them responsively. Let's read them both together in unison out loud. Why don't we all stand one last time here? Y'all look like you're falling asleep on me, so I'm going to wake you up. Get the blood flowing. Amen. I'm listening for all the pop, 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 pop as you stand up. All right. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And again, let's read these all in unison together. Ready? Here we go. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you. The Holy Spirit takes the next few minutes. As we preach and teach the Word of God, would you burn it deeply into our hearts and our minds, please? In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I am going to start with a strange analogy, but you'll understand it more as the sermon takes place here. I love competition. I can see two bugs out on the sidewalk, and I can draw a line and cheer for one of them to cross the line first and root for one of them. I just love competition. I enjoy sports. I enjoy sports of all kinds. Now, I'm not as impressed with most of the pro sports now as I used to be, especially these idiots that won't stand for the national anthem. And I have even less respect for the ones that get on their knees to sing the national anthem in protest. But I like competition. I like baseball. I like football. I don't mind playing basketball, but I don't enjoy watching it. I don't know why. It's just not one of those sports I enjoy watching. I can watch a hockey game for a little while. I don't like soccer. Say why? If you got to run that far and you can't kill somebody, what good is it? If you got to run that far and you can't knock somebody's block off, that's not my kind of game. If I'm going to chase somebody down, I want to hit them, amen? I just believe in competition. Now, they didn't let me play soccer because I didn't understand. You know, when you got close to somebody and you're supposed to get the ball, what do? You're supposed to knock them off their feet so you can get the ball. And they didn't like the way I played. They gave me these little yellow and red cards, and I just didn't work out real well. But I like competition. I've played a lot of sports. I've been on more teams, coached more teams, been responsible for the coaching of more teams than any human should probably ever be a part of. I'm not kidding. I was a Christian school principal. We had basketball, we had volleyball, we had other sports. I've started little leagues in a couple different churches that I've been a part of. I've played on baseball teams from the time I was 5 years old till I graduated from high school. And sometimes I was playing on two and three teams a season. And I mean, I've been a part of a lot of it. I've coached I've done a lot of it. My boys played sports. Even now, when my boys and I get together, usually they want to go golfing. And it's always a competition. You got to see the three of us out there. It's hilarious. And we can get mad at ourselves, cheer for the other guy, and we'll try harder to beat the other two on our next shot. I mean, it's just that way. We compete with each other. It's rugged. Took my son Jeff 3 years before he could beat me in a game of golf. 3 years. The old man held him off for 3 years. Now, he's beat me a few times, but he's had to earn it, too. Now, the truth be told, competition, listen to this statement, competition is based on our pride. Competition is based on our pride.
It is me competing against him to see if I'm better than he is or if he's better than I am at a certain thing. And it's all about pride. I hate to say that. That's why the more competitive you are, the more rambunctious you get about it. I had to be careful when my boys were playing baseball because I live, eat, breathe, drink, sleep, and bleed baseball. I see things in baseball few people see. And I know the rule book better than some of the umpires did that were coaching, and I got mad, and I blew up a couple times, and I shouldn't have. It finally got to the point where I just had to sit there and shut up, and I've had to apologize to umpires. I've made such a spectacle of myself because I know I was right. By the way, I was, but I didn't handle it right, so I was wrong. Now, let me say this. Competition is us trying to be better than somebody else. That's all it is. If we play putt-putt golf, somebody's got to win. Amen? We were in Kentucky a few weeks ago, and we took my daughter and her boyfriend, Brandon, out miniature golfing after we went out to eat one night. And yes, I beat the toe-headed idiot. I whooped him good. You say, why? Got to keep him in his place. Amen? For a while, he thought he was winning, and then all of a sudden, the old man just kicked it in gear. And he was a little bit more frustrated about it than I was. I wasn't frustrated at all. And now, that's pride. Look how fast you can get in the flesh when you're competing. Y'all know what I'm talking about getting in the flesh. Not into somebody else's flesh, but getting in your flesh. Boy, it can arise very quickly. When we didn't get the call we wanted, or our team didn't get the call we thought they should have gotten, the referee blew that call. And then you see the instant replay, and maybe it wasn't so bad. But I say that to say this, that's our pride. Now, here in Hebrews chapter 12, I want you to notice something. God tells us in verse number 1, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I want you to notice something. He doesn't say, I want everybody to come in first place. You know, God never commanded us to finish in first place anywhere in that book. But he did say, I want you to finish your race. And my race is different than Brother Stoltz's race, and Brother Stoltz's race is different than Ron's race. His is a three-legged race, and he lost two. Amen. Brother Ron's a good three-legged race person because he doesn't have one to put down, so you don't have to worry about that, amen? There you go. You just got to tie the sack a little higher. Now, wait a minute. God tells us here, though, he does not expect us to be in first place, but he expects us to finish. You know, only one can be in first place. But we can all run the race that is set before us, and we can all finish. I want you to notice in verse number 1, he said, let us run with patience. Do you know what the word patience means?
It doesn't mean what doctors have. It's what doctors make you have. Patience. You know, I never understood why the doctor's office will call you 6 times to make sure you're going to be on time to your appointment, and they show up an hour late to it. Mm-hmm. I have talked to more than one doctor about that, let me tell you. But patience means this. You have adversity, you have opposition, you have something that's pushing you back, but you keep going until you get through what is ever pushing you back. Walk this way, Brother Stoltz, and I'm going to make you have patience. Patience is not giving up. It's continuing to go on in spite of the opposition. I didn't say hit the pulpit. And all of a sudden, you start making progress. You're not always making progress, but eventually, you make the progress necessary. Thank you, Brother Stoltz. He's kind of like a weeble. He wobbles, but he doesn't fall down. Now, patience has the connotation of opposition. When something isn't going quite the way you planned,
it takes patience. When somebody's not responding the way you expect them to respond, it takes patience, and there's opposition involved. But I want you to notice, God says you're going to face opposition. You know, if you're running a race and somebody's pushing against you, you're probably not going to win, but you can still finish. God looks at the completion of the race more than the speed with which you run the race. God looks to see if you finished the race more than what place you took while you were running the race. We have to move fast enough to finish, but he doesn't tell us we have to finish first. I'm reminded of a story in, I think it's in 2 Samuel, about David, and he's at war with Absalom, his son, and Absalom is basically created a civil war in Israel against his own father. And David's army goes against Absalom's army, and David will not even go to battle against his own son, so he's hunkered down in a bunker outside of town, and he's letting the armies fight it out, not knowing if he'll be king. Finally, they look up, and there's a messenger running. His name was Ahimeaz. Ahimeaz wanted to bring tidings to King David about the war, but he didn't have any information. He went to the leader and he said, "Look, let me go. I'm a fast runner. I want to prove to the king I can run." He said, "I don't have the tidings to give you, but if you want to run, run." So he took off and he ran all the way to the king. There was another runner, and his name was, Cushai. Cushai wasn't as fast of a runner, but Cushai waited for the orders, got him in his hand, and ran behind Ahimeaz, well back. He got the orders, and he took off. King David's men looked up and said, "I see somebody running. Boy, as fast as he's running, that's got to be Ahimeaz. He is going nuts out there. He's got a cloud of dust behind him." And he comes to the door and he says, "I bring tidings to the king." And he said, "What is it?" He said, No, the war's over." He said, "Well, who won? Where's the official stuff?" He said, "Don't know. They didn't give it to me, but I got here first." They said, "Get out of the way." They looked up and they saw another runner in the distance. They said, "That's more sure-footed. That must be Cushai. Guaranteed Cushai's got the orders." Cushai came in a little bit later and said, "I have the orders for the king," and gave the king word about the war being over and that Absalom had been killed and all the officialness of what was going on. Now, that is much like what we are in life. So many people think they have to be first place and they show up first and don't know what they're there for. As a teacher in school, sometimes you got a student that's not a good student, and when they finish their test first, you always wonder. Either they cheated or they just put words down and didn't care a lick about what they just did. Y'all know what I'm talking about? they just started, "Mary had a little lamb," all right? And I've seen kids do that and had nothing to do with the test. Now, it's not always how fast you do something, but do you finish? It's not how fast do we run our race, but will you finish? Some people have a longer race to run than others. I am not a long distance runner. My secretary is. She's done 2 half marathons. God bless her. If I have to run more than from my chair to the refrigerator, it's not worth it. I played baseball because as far as I had to run was 90 feet at a time. Amen. 30 yards. If I was standing on second base and I had to run to home plate, that was a long run. I wasn't a home run hitter. You know, do you know why the big guys always hit the home runs? Because they're too slow to run. They got to hit it over the fence so they can get around the bases in time. And that's the way my brother was. I remember one softball game. He and I were on the same team. We were playing for church league. And for some reason, they put me batting behind my brother one night. That was the dumbest thing. My brother is about 2 or 3 inches taller than me, probably good 30 pounds heavier, and my brother can hit a softball, slow pitch softball, farther than any human you've ever seen. I am not lying. I've watched him take a slow pitch softball and put it over a 330, 340 fence before. Three times in the same game. Okay, not just a freak accident. I mean, he just knows how to pow. I can get it out of the infield every time. I can put it, you can put trash cans out in the field and I could hit it into the trash can wherever you put it. I can place hit every time. I had a better on base percentage. My brother was on base. He was on first base or second. He was on second base. He was on first. I got a single. He went second. I went first. Next guy gets up and gets a hit, hits it way out there. By the time he hit third base, I was on his heels pushing him. Come on, Chris. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. We both scored, but I had to push him across home plate. Thought, good night. Get your fat rear moving. I'm in a hurry. Competition. It's not how fast you run, but do you finish your race? Now, let me give you three or four things here, and we'll go to the house. Number one, God did not give us life as a competition. This race is not competitive. He didn't say, run this race to win a prize. He said, your race is life, and I want you to complete it. I want you to finish that race. Notice, wherefore, seeing we're all so compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Has nothing to do with prize. Now, God gives us incentive along the way called heaven. And all the different things we can get while we go to heaven. But that's not till after we cross the finish line. Guess what? Whether you finish first or last, you're still going to get it. Do you know that your eternity is not based on how fast you run the race here? Life is not a competition. Let me say it this way. You know, I'm not in competition with my wife. We're running part of our race together. For the last 27 and a half years, we've been running the race together. Now, for the first 22 years, I ran it without her. But after that, we've been running together. And every once in a while, she'll lead. Every once in a while, I lead. I try to stay out ahead of her. And then she trips on me, and if I fall down, I got to catch back up to her again. Now, I'm not in competition with my wife to see how many times I can beat her being right. Okay, if she's right, she's right. I'm wrong. No big deal. No sense in me getting upset over it. If I'm right and she's wrong, no sense in me walking around, strutting around like a banny rooster saying, told you so, told you so, told you so. Yeah. It only happens never mind. I won't go there. I got to go home tonight. Now, you know, so many marriages, it's almost like, I'm learning, aren't I? So many marriages, we're in competition with each other. It's almost like if we don't agree, bless God, you got to follow me because I'm the man. You follow me. I know I'm right. Okay, she will, but you might not be right. It's almost like we have to beat each other. And I'm not talking about hitting each other either. My wife and I try to outserve each other. You got to see it when it comes dinner time. And if I'm there and helping her get ready, it's who can get the most stuff on the table first. Just leave it alone. I'll get it. No, I got it. Since the kids are gone, I'm helping do dishes and stuff. And we got a dishwasher, but you know you got to scrape them off and hose them down a little bit because when there's only two of you, you don't run it every day. So you don't want that stuff baking on there after three or four days. And so I try to clean that stuff up, and I'll grab the pots and the pans and do the scrubbing. And you say, do you have to? No, but I enjoy being with her, trying to help her. I try to make sure I fill her drink cup all the way to the very top till they're just about to go over so that she can't move it. And you put it far enough back, she can't reach over and get it either. So then she has to move it. But we don't compete with one another. I'm not in competition with my wife. I'm not in competition with my kids. I'm not. Today, I texted my kids after church and told them the Lord gave us 2 visitors and 1 saved today. Praise the Lord. My daughter said, Daddy, we had 1 visitor, and I don't remember how many visitors she said, but one of her teen girls that has been saved for a long time, her mom and dad came to church, drove into church, and watched her get baptized, and they were all excited about that. I was as happy as could be. My son Jeff said, Dad, we had an awesome day. Had 23 on our bus and 1 visitor. My son Josh, he said, Dad, we had 4 visitors today, a bunch of return new families that have been coming for a little while. And then he texted me this afternoon and said, Dad, pray for me. I got to preach tonight. Just found out the guy is supposed to preach. Got to take his wife to the hospital, and I'm on deck. I'm not in competition with my kids. Do you know if my 3 children outdo me, I'll be happy? I want them to. I hope they have more people saved than I have. But I've had a heap. I'm not in competition with them. I hope they have more visitors than we have. Say why? That's more people getting reached. Amen. It doesn't bother me. I'm not in competition with other churches. Do you know I don't call all the pastors and say, how'd your day go? Did you have this? Did you have that? I'm not in competition. Brother Rick Walters up in Maine texted me today. He said, man, we had 4 visitors. He said, I had to put extra chairs out this morning. Amen. I said, I had extra chairs out too. I said, all my people didn't show up because they're sick. I said, it's been crazy. And I had a couple other churches around the country say, yeah, the flu's going around bad here. But you know, we rejoice with each other. I have no idea how many they had in church anywhere. I don't ask anybody. We talk about visitors, people getting saved, people getting baptized. How much better is it? And by the way, I'm not in competition with them. We ought not compete too much at work. I'm for little competition every once in a while, but may I say this, it only inflames pride. Be careful competing at work. If you've ever worked a sales job, it's nothing but competition, and it's kill or be killed. I've been part of sales jobs before and counseled an awful lot of people in sales, and there's a lot of lying that goes in just so that you could win something. God gave us a path, a will, and he wants us to run the race and finish the race. Period. I don't mean this to sound unkind, but I don't find anywhere in the Bible, Brother Ron, where it says God gives us a trophy if we finish first. I don't find one place. I don't find one place where he says you have to be coming in first place or you've disappointed me. You know, God never told us that we had to come in first or we disappoint him. He just said finished. Just finish the race. So, by the way, God will reward all those who finish. When we get to heaven, we will be rewarded. But do you know we get rewards along the way here? When my secretary runs her marathon, she laughs at me because I said, did you ever see a happy jogger? You know, these people run down the road. You know, there's not a one of them that's happy about it. If it's so miserable, why do it, amen? But she was running in her last marathon. I thought I broke a button. That's why I looked. And she had somebody take a picture of her while she went by where they were, and she fake smiled long enough to get her picture taken. And she said, see, there's a happy jogger. I said, that's posed. It doesn't count. Amen. But even as you're running along a route like that, you'll find little stations along the way where people can grab water or Gatorade or some kind of quick snack to keep their energy up. And there's rewards along the way for completing another stage of that. That's what God does for us. And he's not interested in what place you place. He just wants you to finish your race. And by the way, like I said, my wife and I have been running this race together for a while. But guess what? It doesn't mean I expect my wife to keep up with the pace I do sometimes. I said that this morning. I can't lead my wife like I lead me. She can't put 18, 20, 22-hour days in all the time. She's not built for that. I'm built for that. She can't handle some of the stress that I handle. Say, why? Nobody can. God made me to handle that stress. But God didn't make me to stay at home with three kids either. Praise God. God didn't make me to change diapers. Glory to God. I am convinced a woman's nose is cursed. Because there ain't no way you can change a diaper and not have a cursed nose. And please, I know this is gross. I can play in Deer Guts all day long, and it does not bother me, Brother June, but don't ask me to change somebody's diaper. I'll gag and get grossed out every time. Stick my arms up to my shoulders in Deer Guts, and pull them out, have them splash in my face. I'm okay. Here we go. Don't you ask me to change no diaper. My first son was born. My wife had to leave town for a week. I thought, how big's that diaper going to be? I'm not changing that thing. You laugh, but while I was at work, I'd take him to one of the secretaries and say, here, can you change him? I went to the neighbor one day. He's out in the yard. Boy, he's getting pretty ripe. I guess she said, are you changing him? I said, only if I have to. She said, bring me the stuff. My neighbor changed my kid. I hate changing diapers. It's bad. Now, I did it a few times. But, you know, I had to get the nose plugs out. And I had to get, you know, I look like Dr. Jekyll working on a specimen here, you know. Give me the rubber gloves that go to the shoulders, you know, the gut gloves that you get for deer hunting. Lord have mercy. Now, I'm not in competition with her. She can do things I cannot do. But I don't expect her to carry the load I carry. I'll say this. I say it every once in a while. My wife doesn't know everything that's going on in the church because I don't talk to her about it. If something negative is going on, she finds out as everybody else finds out. You say, why? She's not my assistant pastor. She's my wife. If you have a problem and you came to me, she doesn't know about it. I'll promise you. You say, why? I don't tell her. It's not hers to carry. That's mine to carry, not hers. Bless you, Miss Ellen. Now, God wants to reward all of us along the way. So, God did not give us life as a competition. Number two, many are good starters, but they're not good finishers. Okay, I'm going to preach at me now. Notice that Jesus was the starter, the author, and the finisher of our faith. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't just start the gospel? Aren't you glad he just didn't get it started and it's up to us to finish it? By the way, man's religion is us finishing the gospel. Jesus' religion is he started and finished it. We just accept it. Amen. Now watch this. Many people start with great energy but never finish. Look how many projects are not done at your house. I was looking in the mirror down there, just so you know. Look how many projects you started and they still haven't got done at your house. I got a couple of those. I was working on this sermon. I was sitting right back there in my office. I said, that's not funny. He said, what are you going to do about it? I said, can I leave that out of my sermon? He said, nope. I said, that means I'm going to have to finish a few things in the next week or two. We're all good at starting, but we're not real good at finishing. Let's decide to be finishers. Let's go home and start finishing some of those things we started. You know, those projects that have been sitting in the basement for 6 years that got started and never finished? That project that's almost done and you're going to get to it someday to finish that has never gotten finished? How about at work? How many projects do you have going that aren't finished? You know, unfinished things can create more stress. They really do. How about school projects that aren't finished? And we ought to be finishers, not just starters. Did you ever see somebody start something? Boy, they come out of the blocks. They're fast. They're cruising. In racing, they'll call them rabbits.
they jump out real fast. But a rabbit doesn't run very long. They don't run very far and very long. They can go real quick when you see them, but they don't run very far because their little hearts can't take it. They stress out pretty easy. Now, too many of us are good at starting. Point number three. This means cleanup is as important as the job itself. Finishing is as important as the job itself. Did you know that cleanup is part of the job? Brother Lopez and I met this week, and it's not all Brother Lopez. It's not any one person. I've been patient, but I finally had enough. And I said, Brother Joe, we've got to do something about Junior Church. I've come down here for the last time. It is a pigsty. I said, it is horrid. There's paper, there's food, there's stuff ground into the carpet. And it's that thick all across. I said, we are not training our bus kids right if we do all the cleaning. I said, we're going to revamp this a little bit. I said, the preacher's not too good to vacuum the floor, but this is bad character that we're allowing, and I want our kids taught good character. So, Brother Joe took about 10 minutes in junior church today to teach them it's not going to be that way anymore. I walked in there this afternoon, and you could eat off that carpet. I wouldn't, but you're right. I baptized enough converts in there. There's enough water splashed on there. No, but it was clean. I walked in. I went, wow. And I don't plan on hugging Brother Joe, but I could just about hugged him for it. I saw him tonight. First thing I told him, that is the way it ought to be. Sure. Not because I don't want to clean it, but those young people need to learn the responsibility of cleaning up after themselves.
That's right.
Don't get mad at me. About 6 weeks ago, I told Brother Stoltz, I'm tired of picking up everybody's songbook. We need everybody to start putting their songbook back under their seat, getting the one under the... Now, don't put it away now. All right? Everybody's looking around, all right? But that's why about 6-8 weeks ago, Brother Stoltz started saying, grab your songbook from under your chair in hopes that everybody get trained to start putting your songbook away in the place you got it. You'd be surprised. You grab it from that chair and put it away under that chair over there. How it happens, I don't know, but it does. All right? Not because I'm against doing it, but when you do it every week for all these weeks, eventually you get tired doing it, and we ought to just do it because it's the right thing to do.
That's right.
Everybody doing all right? A job is not done until the cleanup work is done. The ladies that helped me with the planning of the ladies' meetings, we always plan a cleanup crew in the first meeting. I put somebody in charge of it, and we help get workers together for it, and we plan a group of people that's going to clean it up. You say, why? Because if we don't do it before we start it, it's not going to get done when we're done. So we plan a group of people to do the cleanup, because that's as important as the actual event itself. Because we got to have church in there the next day, Sunday school and junior church. And it's important that it gets done. Everybody doing all right? The word finish means to complete the payment of a debt. No details left to conclude. The word finish means this. If you ever took out a car loan and you made all your payments or you paid it off, you know how you felt? Man, I completed this. I finished it. It's mine. I made all the payments. That's exactly what God says we're supposed to do with our race. We're supposed to finish it. We're to pay all the payments along the way. We're to pay the price to get there. No details left. I have a big project I started about a year ago that's not complete. I'm fixing to finish it before Thanksgiving. It'll be done before Thanksgiving. Big project I started, and it's not finished. Just a few little details, but those few little details I got to get done. Say why? Because the job hadn't been done for over a year. So I got to finish it. Yeah, I'm preaching to myself. I know. Especially when my wife's sitting in the room. Now, may I say this? We're in the last lap before the rapture. Let's finish our race. It's not going to be long till the Lord comes back. Especially if she gets in office.
Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Now, wait a minute. I say that to say this. We're supposed to keep running the race till we finish our course. Just because God said run, doesn't mean you have to come in first place. If it were a long distance, my secretary's going to whip us all. If it's a sprint, I got a chance.
If it's only 90 feet, I'll whip her. One way or the other. I might die with a heart attack across the line, but I'm gonna win. But if I got to run 13 miles, I'm dead before I start. My body's not built for long distance. I got a bad hip, a bad knee, and two blown discs in my back. You don't run long distances with that. Those short sprints you can get away with a little bit, but boy, that jarring all the time is not good for you. Now, wait a minute. We're not supposed to compare our race to somebody else's. Do you know that Brother Barnes isn't to compare his race to Brother Lopez, and Brother Lopez isn't supposed to compare to Miss Tammy, and Miss Tammy's not supposed to compare to Mung, because God knows Mung has a bigger load to carry. She's got Wiley. And we're not supposed to compare our race. When we start comparing our race to somebody else, we're in competition. We're not supposed to be competing. We're supposed to be finishing our race. God says, I don't care what place you finish, I just want you finishing. Let's just decide we're going to finish the race. Now, I say that to say this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'll turn there. You don't need to turn there. I want to read just a couple verses to you. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Some of you might even be able to quote it. But the Bible says, for I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord hath made. Can I tell you?
Notice it doesn't say he came in first place. It says he finished his course. I remember the day I graduated from Bible college. Glory to God. I'd finished Bible college in 4 years. I think we needed 128 hours to graduate. I think I had 140 or right at 140 credits. I was only a half a semester away from a master's degree in 4 years. I finished with a B average. I had a 3.17 GPA from college. I worked 40 hours a week, drove an hour to work, and drove an hour from work for the last 3 years of college. I was a Bible club leader, and for the last 2 years, I actually had two Bible clubs. I had a high school club and a junior high club. I had no less than 30 college workers that worked under me that I oversaw in that, helped oversee the entire work, actually, of the Bible club ministry of up to almost 300 workers. I taught Sunday school, ran a bus route, helped in D-teen church. That's all while going to college on top of all that. I didn't graduate with a straight A average. You're right. But I remember when Brother Hiles, or Dr. Evans, called my name and Brother Hiles gave me that diploma. Got to the other side, moved that tassel from the left to the right, and just about shouted. I finished. I was tired. I didn't want to go back to school for anything else. I had met with Brother Hiles. He said, Craig, have you ever thought about getting your master's? I said, nope. He said, well, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to audit a class or two. I'm getting married in June after I graduate. My wife has a year. I'm going to put her through school. I said, I'll work part-time at the college with security, and if I can take a class or two for audit just to catch up on some things that I didn't get because I was halfway sleeping through my class, I said, preacher, I am too tired to want to take another class. He said, okay. I found out I'm only one of about five students he ever approved that for. You say, why? He knew I was going to stay busy. I was so dead dog tired, I didn't care if I ever took another class again. And years later, I'd go back and teach those classes. Now, wait a minute. I finished my course, though. I remember when my wife walked across a year later and got her diploma. She finished.
I promised her mom, I promised her dad, I promised her preacher at our wedding 14 different times she was going to finish. And she did. You say, why? She had a course to finish, and she finished it. I believe in finishing what you start. Let's be good finishers. You don't have to come in first place. Do you know that, good night, how long has it been since I graduated from college? 27 plus years ago that I graduated from college. You know, it doesn't matter to you what my GPA was. If I would have graduated laude or cum laude or mega cum laude, you say, what's that mean? Come loudly. All right? Just remember that. Whether I graduated with honors or with good honors or with highest honors, it wouldn't have mattered to you. Doesn't matter if I had the highest GPA. I didn't. I know who the top graduate was that year. And I know what position he holds to this day. And he's changed what he believes to hold it, too. I didn't change what I believe. Guess it's not the education, then. It's what you do with it. Finish the race. Finish the race. Finishing the race doesn't mean you have to come in first. I'm not against competition. My wife used to get frustrated. When my kids were little and we'd play a game, I didn't let my children win. I had to win. And if they won, it's because they earned it. She'd get frustrated. She said, why don't you just let them win? I said, no way. I said, they're going to have to learn how to win because they learned how to win and they become the best at it, not because I let them do it. I'm not throwing the game. I don't do that now. I'm not going to back off just because they're young. Make it harder on them. They'll become better if we do that.
Yes, sir. That's right.
My boys were better baseball players than the average because when we played in the backyard, I was zinging them at them. I didn't back off. Heard my dad one day, hey, you ought to slow it down. I said, why? They got to learn how to catch them. I said, you didn't back off on me. He said, good point. He said, a little bit of blood won't hurt them. Nope, rub it a little harder. But they knew how to handle hot shots when they came at them. They learned how to catch curveballs. They learned how to field hard hit balls because I didn't back off. I whacked it at them. Now, when they were 4 years old, I didn't throw it 80 miles an hour at them. But I didn't back off as they got to their level. I kept increasing it a little each time. God says, I just want you to finish. Let's finish. Let's finish. Let's not just start. Let's finish. And by the way, let's finish together. Let's all run our race and let's finish together. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not even going to make you raise your hand because I know all of us need this sermon.